Hey, it's Gina Galusha with AMAA. I am taking a minute before we get started to make sure you know about an upcoming opportunity. This summer, we hope you'll meet us in Chicago for summer conference. Don't miss the opportunity to meet with hundreds of decision makers with over 1 billion in transactional buying power. There will be great panels with industry insights, networking opportunities, and hours of Deal Connect meetings. If you want to learn more, head to amaconference.com. Otherwise, we'll see you there.
Welcome back to M&A Access. My name is Ekaterina, and today I'm here in the studio with Matthew from First Tee Greater Dallas. Welcome to the show, Matthew.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
So you work in marketing and communications as a manager at First Tee. And before we dive into your journey, I want to get to know your background first. How did you first learn about First Tee, and how did you end up there?
Yeah, of course. So it actually started when I was like 7 or 8 years old. So I come from a big family. I have 5 siblings, actually. So me and my 2 sisters are pretty close in age. So one of my sisters is just about a year older than me. Another one's a year younger. And back when I was about 7 or 8, my dad would travel a lot for work. And so me and my 2 sisters, we were playing different sports. So I was in, I think, basketball at the time. My older sister was in volleyball. And I believe my younger sister was in soccer. And so we'd all have the same time practices, but at different locations. So whenever my dad flew away for work, my mom would have to kind of pick and choose like who she would take for practice. And so my parents were trying to find a way to bring all of us to kind of the same place at the same time for us to play a sport together. And so they learned about the First Tee.
Mm-hmm. So very sports-oriented family.
Yes.
Yeah. So why golf?
My dad always tells this story, and I may get the details wrong, but I think he was flying back from work one time, and he was just talking to this guy on the plane, and I want to say he was from Kentucky, and he told my dad about the First Tee and how, you know, kind of we're all able to get all of us in the same spot, you know, different ages, different genders, and we're all able to play together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you were 7 when you first entered the building of First Tee.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think about the people that you met and about the program in general? Because you were in elementary school, you probably had other interests besides that.
Yeah, definitely. It was strange for me. I mean, coming from like basketball, and I mean, I played, you know, baseball, soccer, volleyball, you know, a bunch of different sports growing up. And so walking in, you know, the doors of the golf club, we all had our little like name tags with our names. So every week we'd have to go up to the counter and like find our names,
mm-hmm.
which is always a little weird for me. So we'd clip our name tags on, we'd head out to the back. There's kind of this designated area just by this big tree that we'd all meet up at. And so the coach would be there. Coach Jim. He was really cool. And then just a bunch of kids my age. I was actually really good friends with these two twins. One of them named with Daniel. And I only remember that because my dad's name is Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really fun, like, environment, kind of light environment.
So how many kids your age were in the same group as you? Like, how does that work at First Tee?
Yeah, so if I remember, it was a good amount of us, maybe anywhere from 10 to 20 of us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So you first enter. What happens next when you just subscribe to become, what is it, a member or part of the First Tee group? Who exactly are you?
So we call them participants.
Participants.
So you're a participant of the program.
So what happens next after you become a participant? Like, are there classes that you have to take mm-hmm. or events you have to participate in? Like, what is the next step after you become a participant?
Yeah, so usually they're kind of under our open enrollment. So we, you know, go online and enroll for whatever classes we'd like. And there's different, you know, locations, different time slots. And usually it'd be, I want to say, like 8 weeks. So for 8 weeks, you'd go, you know, let's say at Tuesday o'clock at, you know, X golf course, and you'd go from 6 to 7:15,
mm.
right? And so when you first walk in, you know, you kind of get settled in. If you got your own golf clubs, you bring them. If you don't, they have extra. And so we'd walk up, wait till 6 o'clock, and then the coach would come out. He'd give us kind of a little spiel about what we're doing today, what we're learning today. If we have any questions, maybe we talk about, you know, previous weeks and what we've learned. And then they would divide us into different groups. So we have, usually they have kind of different setups. So they had like a driving range, the putting green, and then a chipping green. So it kind of divide us into usually 2 or 3 groups. We get set off, and there'd be a coach at each location, and we'd switch every maybe 20 minutes.
Do you get to pick your group? or is that not up to you?
Usually it's not up to you. The coaches would, but they would put you with your friends usually, or people kind of similar to you.
How do they decide that? Based off of age or your interests or your like physique?
Well, I'm trying to think back when I was a participant. Because when you sign up for the program, you kind of do it with age. So there's different like age groups.
So you like
for
take a test.
To sign up for. There are testing, yeah. So there's also different levels to it. So it starts with the player level, is what it's called. And it goes from player to par, birdie, eagle, and then ace. And so the curriculum now is a little bit different than when I was in the program. So back then it was a little more skills based. And now it is more age based. So that would usually how they would split up like different classes you would enroll for.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a story or something memorable that you still have in your brain to this day from your early days at First Tee?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. It was it was the funniest thing to me at the time. So we're on the putting green, and I don't know who the coach was. I just remember just this moment, right? So they're kind of teaching us about distance control and putting. And so they show us this one putt, and they're probably 3 feet away from the hole. And they say, you know, okay, on this first one, like, would you rather go, you know, short or long? And everyone's kind of going, you know, short, long, you know, it doesn't matter. And so the coach is like, okay, well, if you miss it short, well, look at the next putt I have. It's, you know, an inch from the hole. And then they say, okay, well, now look at it when I miss long. And they just hammer this putt, and it hits just the middle of the flag so you can go straight down. And it was just the funniest thing I've ever seen.
And it's only golf-based, right? There are no other sports at First Tee.
That's correct. It is golf-based. Sometimes we'll have warm-ups where we'll incorporate different sports. We'd play this game called baseball golf, kind of like almost like baseball, kickball, and golf combined.
Trying to imagine that.
Yeah, so we're almost hitting like tennis balls with these plastic golf clubs.
Okay.
So you'd hit it, and then you'd kind of run the bases, and you know you'd have taggers trying to tag you out. Not the golf course, but kind of just a big field almost.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. So do you remember a moment when you realized First Tee was changing your life? Probably not at 7.
Yeah, no, not at 7. I would
That's
say...
That's a little too young to decide that yet.
Yeah.
But maybe now. How old are you now, by the way?
I'm 25.
25, yes. Yeah. So you've been with them for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
So when was that moment?
I think that moment for me... Gosh, I was probably 16 or 17, and I was, we have these, they're called national opportunities. So you know, cause there's a lot of different chapters, under the First Tee. So there's First Tee National, and then all these different cities and different locations have their own like First Tees. So all the stuff we've been talking about so far is just the stuff in Dallas, right? Mm-hmm. Like the stuff that I've experienced in Dallas. But they do have these national opportunities that every different chapter, the kids are able to apply for. And then you get flown out to these kind of like summer camps. But this one, it's called the Pure Insurance Championship at Pebble Beach. So you'd go play out at Pebble Beach, and it's like a PGA Seniors Tour tournament where you get paired with a senior PGA Tour player.
Senior, like how old are we talking?
The Senior Tour, I think they're 50 and older.
Okay.
So like some of these guys are like 50, 51, and some of them are like 75, 80.
Oh.
So it kind of varies. And so you play with them for the whole weekend. And I think that's kind of the moment I knew, like this is really, like, life-changing for me. You know, I'm flying out. Me and my sister went to the tournament together. Our dad came with us. I'm playing with Lee Jansen, who's, a major winner on the PGA Tour. He's a great guy. He's an amazing golfer. And we're just playing, you know, Pebble Beach, Poppy Hills, just some of the nicest courses I could even think of.
Mm-hmm.
And just seeing... You know, there's so many like-minded people, like so many people trying to improve on themselves, improve on golf, like getting ready for college. Mm-hmm. And I think that's when I realized, like, First Tee's, like, really kind of pushing me in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you must be really good at golfing then.
I used to be okay. I don't
not
play
anymore.
As much. Not anymore, no. So I played a year in college, in junior college,
mm-hmm.
But that was COVID year. So it was 2019, 2020. So I went on my spring break, never came back to school.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of quit golf then. And now I just play pretty casually.
Mm-hmm. Can you help me like understand why I am so bad at it? I know you have to like squeeze your knees a little bit and like mm-hmm. sit on them softly, and then you have to like kick the ball.
Yeah.
But usually it doesn't like go to the hole. Like it's impossible, in my opinion, to ever hit the little hole because number one, it's super far away. Mm-hmm. Number two, it's impossible.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I don't understand how people can do it from the first try.
Yeah. It's the golf swing, especially when you're a beginner, it's just the most unnatural thing you could really feel, right? Like everything is in your body is kind of working against you. You know, you got to be so still, but you're moving your whole body. You're using your legs. Like you're not really, when I'm swinging, I'm not thinking about pushing my arms. I'm really pulling everything.
Uh-huh.
It's funky.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It's easier to just kick it.
Yeah, it is. It makes a lot more sense just to kick it.
Yes. So how did first tee help you when you were younger? Let's talk about that a little bit. Like mm-hmm. maybe mentally,
mm-hmm.
maybe physically,
mm-hmm.
Maybe to build more relationships. Become smarter, become more persistent.
Mm-hmm.
How did it help you?
Yeah, so this is the old curriculum again. But when I was growing up, we had these things called the 9 core values. So like I said earlier, with the kind of the spiel that the coach would tell us every week, we'd learn a new core value. So they're just like sportsmanship, honesty, judgment, like courtesy, confidence, just things like that. These kind of almost buzzwords.
Mm.
But they kind of teach us about that. And not only just kind of teach us, you know, the dictionary definition of these words, but they'd also give us kind of examples of ways that we could use these words and these feelings in our own life. So the coach would ask us, you know, if it was confidence that day, it'd say, okay, how could you display off confidence today on the golf course? And, you know, we'd all raise our hands like, oh, I could do this, this, this. And then they'd ask us, how would you do it in school? You know, okay, well, I'm thinking, like, in school, how can I be more confident?
Mm-hmm,
like,
mm-hmm.
And then how do you do it at home? It's like, oh, let me think about that, too. And so every week we kind of have, you know, these new thoughts in our mind.
Mm-hmm.
So that really taught me a lot about kind of myself and how I'm using, not only learning these words, but how I'm using them in my day-to-day life.
Mm-hmm. And when was that moment that you decided to work for them? Because mm-hmm. you are now a marketing communications manager mm-hmm. there. So when did you decide that?
Yeah, so actually in high school, I was a junior intern. So when I was 16, when I was old enough to drive and work, me and my older sister, her name's Taylor, but we were interning together. So we were just junior coaches in the summer. So we would just go out to these golf courses, different golf courses every day. We just coach them, the kids, for, you know, 2 hours at a time. And then kind of left that for a while when I went away for school in 2019. I kind of left the program. I wasn't doing much with them. And then in 2023, I was getting close to graduating with my undergrad in marketing at UTD. And so one of the requirements there was that we needed an internship in our major. And it was kind of a rough time for me applying for internships. It's pretty competitive, in the Dallas area. And so I reached out to Katie, who, kind of my lifelong mentor coach at First Tee. She still works there. She's still my boss. And I was asking her, you know, do you have any, you know, do you know anyone who could kind of fulfill this internship for me? She said, hey, like, why don't you just come work for us? You know, you could be our social media intern. You could do all this stuff for us and hopefully get these credits done for you. Mm-hmm. And so I started working there in the summer of 2023. So that summer I did my internship at First Tee Greater Dallas. Kind of worked on and off until the next year when I graduated in 2024. And then September 2024, I got a full-time offer to come back and be the marketing communications manager.
That's awesome. You know, you mentioned Katie, and my next question mm-hmm. was going to be about a mentor, coach, or maybe a conversation that stayed with you over the years. Can you remember anything maybe that inspired you to this day?
Yeah, so it was, and I remember this, it was Coach Katie, and I always call her Coach Katie still to this day. But I want to say 13, and I'm a pretty tall guy now, but back then I was almost the same height, right? Like I was really tall. I didn't care too much for golf. It was, you know, it was fun to come out and play, but I didn't care for it. And Katie just kind of one day comes up to me during a class, and she says, you know, hey, Matthew, like, you got a great swing. Why don't you start playing competitively? And that kind of, that always stuck with me, and that really was the start of my kind of competitive journey in golf.
Mm-hmm. How has your experience been being on staff compared to being a participant?
Yeah, it's a lot different. Being a participant, kind of always light, always fun.
Mm-hmm.
And now being on staff, I do coach a little bit. So most of it is what I do is marketing. So I do a little bit of coaching on the side. But it's a lot more stressful. You know, we have a lot more meetings than I would have thought.
Mm-hmm.
And there really goes a lot more planning behind kind of every single class, every event, more than.
We're taking just a quick break from this conversation to let you know about some upcoming conversations that you could be a part of too. This summer in Chicago at AMA's Summer Conference, you have the opportunity to meet with hundreds of decision makers with over $1 billion in the transactional buying power. There will be panels with insights like what you find in this podcast, hundreds of meetings happening, as well as really great networking opportunities. You can find out more at ameconference.com. Hope to see you there.
I could really imagine.
Mm-hmm. What do you enjoy doing the most at work? Is it coaching with kids or more something creative for social media?
I think I'm a little more creative. So I do take all of our event photography.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, all of our big events, I'm always there. And then a lot of our classes, just our regular classes, I'll be there. And I think it's really fun kind of come out taking pictures of the kids because, mm-hmm. honestly, they hate it. They hate the pictures. And that's what I like most about it. But also just being able to see, like, the same kids returning back.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of am able to build a little bit of a relationship with them. So they'll, you know, when I come up, I'll say, hey, you know, Coach Matthew's here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because I'm not there every week like a lot of the other coaches. And so it's kind of a fun little event for them. And then they know, like, when I'm there, they got to kind of act a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
Do you ever look at the kid and think, oh, my God, he's basically me back in the day?
Little aspects of them, for sure.
Yeah,
because when I was growing up, I was really awkward. I was really shy. I wasn't a big talker as much as I am now. So I'll see kind of kids when they're real shy at these classes, and I'm like, yeah, like that was me. So I kind of go out of my way to try and talk to those kids who talk a little bit less.
Mm-hmm. So do you think your personal experience helps you in your job today?
Most definitely, especially when I'm coaching. I'm able to just really put myself in their shoes and kind of think, like, would these kids even have fun in these activities, and are they kind of getting the message that I'm trying to give them? And so I'm able to just kind of think back and, like, okay, well, if you know, I was coaching myself, what would I say here? And if, mm-hmm. you know, I was coaching this class, what would I tell them? And if I was setting up this game, you know, what rules would I have to set up for them?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What about situations where kids are not behaving as good as maybe coaches prefer them to behave? How do you deal with situations like that when they maybe show up in a bad mood,
mm-hmm.
or they just refuse to do something?
Mm-hmm.
Or they just want to pick on other kids?
Yeah. I mean, that's a tricky question. Because we do kind of have two different types of programming. So we have our in-school and then our open enrollment. So our in-school is kind of, imagine, like, we'd have a bag of golf equipment. And we'd go out to a school during maybe their PE hour. And we'd coach them for an hour. And we'd leave. So we'd come back every week, you know, Wednesday at their PE hour, which is maybe 2 or 3 o'clock, coach them there for an hour and then go home, versus our open enrollment, which was what I was in. So they would sign up, they would come to, you know, the golf course or our facility, and we'd be able to coach them there.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're dealing with our in-school, we'd have to be a little bit more strict because they're usually bigger groups. They're with all their school friends, but we have their teachers with them.
Mm-hmm.
So we're able to tell them, you know, hey, like, If you're not listening, like, you can go sit over there with your teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So for our open enrollment, it is a lot trickier, actually.
Mm-hmm. Because of different kids with different backgrounds and different families.
Exactly. So we're not able to really control, like, exactly who's coming to see us.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, I really don't work the open enrollment as much, to be honest.
Why not?
I do only really in school when I'm coaching. So I'll coach maybe 2 days a week of the in school. That's just kind of where they need me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And do they have, for open enrollment groups, a limit of kids they can take?
Yeah, so every class has a different limit. So I know at our facility, Each class, I want to say it's around 12, maybe 18, just depending on how many coaches we have available. And then at the golf courses that we work at, it's usually about that 12 number.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What is one memory from your time as participant that you still carry with you today?
I think when I was 17. Was I 17? Yeah, I was 17, back of summer of 2018. So me and my sister went to a different golf camp, National Opportunity. It was called the Par 3 Championship, which I don't think they have anymore. But me and my sister flew out to Richmond, Virginia, and we're with just another group of, a full group of teenagers our age from all different places in the country. And kind of during the day, we'd play golf at this Par 3 course, and at night we would, you know, learn about these different lectures, maybe explore the city. And I just remember the first day of me and my sister getting there. We were just exploring this college campus because we're staying on campus for the week. And it's just really fun because we're with maybe three or four other teenagers who we had just met. Like, we had just met these kids, and we're exploring this entire college campus. Like, no adults, just us, in the summer, so there's not even really staff there. And I just really, like, instantly felt so close to them. Just walking around, mm-hmm. and I thought that was really cool.
Feels like family.
Exactly, like how fast we're able to create that bond just from first tee.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is the second time you've mentioned flying out somewhere for tournament or just part of this program. How often do you guys offer something like that? How often do you travel for a competition or tournament mm-hmm. with first tee?
Yeah, so every summer they have all these different national opportunities is what they're called.
Mm-hmm.
So they have kind of different tournaments or summer camps. So usually the first tee national offers, I want to say like 5, 6, or 7 every summer for the teenagers.
Nice. And every summer it's a different location?
Depends on the summer camp. So at the Pure Insurance Championship, it's always going to be at Pebble Beach. That's just where the tournament is.
Mm-hmm.
But I know like the national championship switches every few years. There's Game Changers now, which used to be Life Skills. So when I attended as a participant, that was in Michigan. That was at mm-hmm. Michigan State.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was actually a chaperone when I was in college and recently. So we were in Philadelphia, like at Villanova. And then last year we were in Minnesota. So it switches every few years.
Nice. And so how much does that cost? It's my question.
So for the participants, it's free.
Uh-huh.
So everything is going to be free. So the chapter, you know, pays for your flights. You fly out there. The First Tee National will pay for your stay. So usually we're staying at college campuses. So like when I was at Michigan State, we were just staying in the dorms. There's no AC, but we're staying in the dorms. And all the food's paid for. The flights are paid for. The golf's all paid for. Like, everything is paid for there.
We forgot to mention that First Tee is a nonprofit organization.
Yes.
So how can people donate, and why should people donate?
Yeah, so you could donate at your local chapter on their website. There's always going to be a donation link. And then they also have different fundraising events. So I know for Dallas, we do have a lot of big fundraising events, with our biggest one being our Invitational. So if you're watching this maybe as a company, you could donate to be, you know, title sponsor, you know, whole sponsor, all these different types of sponsors. And if you're not maybe a company watching this, you could actually play in the tournaments, like our fundraising tournaments. So it would be like a set amount of dollars that goes straight to the first tee. And then you're able to come out and play and enjoy us and meet a lot of the staff and even some participants.
Are there any qualities or something that a person should know how to do before they apply for a tournament? Like, should you be like a non-professional golfer so that it's fair to compete with other, you know, students or kids?
Yeah, so usually these tournaments, these fundraiser tournaments, are pretty lighthearted. So they're pretty beginner friendly.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say, like, if it's your first time ever golfing, I'd maybe, you know, hit the range a few times.
Mm-hmm.
But it is pretty beginner-friendly. Usually, like, scrambles, they have all these maybe extra fun rules, like you're able to buy some mulligans or, you know, things like that. But, I mean, if you were a professional, you could still come out. It's still a very fun environment.
What do you want people to understand about First Tee that they may not see right away?
I would say the community aspect of it. You know, like, obviously we're out there teaching kids about golf and, you know, maybe about these life lessons. But I think the biggest takeaway for a lot of these kids is just being able to be around kids that are similar to them and create this community, you know, because golf isn't maybe the most exciting sport for kids.
Mm-hmm.
But being around a bunch of kids that kind of enjoy being out there, you know, you're just outside, you know, with your buddies, learning about golf. I think it's a lot of fun, and it's a really good community, really tight-knit.
And you get to make a lot of new friends.
Yeah, exactly. New friends every week almost.
Like you mentioned, a lot of people think golf is just a sport. How has this program became more than golf?
I mean, yeah, I think it's just kind of everything we've talked about so far, like the community aspect, the life skills, the leadership, you know, not only the community, but that kind of mentor-mentee relationship with your coaches. I think that's all really big in the first tee.
And what kind of impact can this program have on a young person's life? So for other kids that are listening right now, potentially, possibly, I don't know if any kids are listening to M&A Access specifically, but maybe their parents. What kind of impact can First Tee have on their kid's life?
Yeah, so, you know, not only First Tee, but the game of golf, it requires a lot of discipline and kind of being humble. I think a lot of other sports don't really require. And especially under our coaching and our curriculum, you're able to just learn so much. Really, like, these kind of mature topics almost, you know, about, like, confidence and honesty and judgment and sportsmanship. So you're learning about all these different things that maybe you wouldn't learn until much later in life.
And what would you say to someone who is thinking about joining or supporting First Tee? Should they do it? I know it's a very obvious question.
Yeah, I mean, of course I'm going to say they should, right? But I really think they should. Even, you know, if you're an adult, you can come out and volunteer. You can come out and donate. If you're, you know, a kid or a parent, it's pretty low commitment, honestly, that first time coming to First Tee. Like, you know, you're signing up for these open enrollment classes. It's inexpensive, really. You don't have to pay a membership fee or or there's no, you know, year-long commitment. You're just kind of there for a few weeks. And if you don't like it, you don't have to come back.
How often do you guys meet? Is it once a week, or do you have to come out every single day or on the weekends?
Yeah, so it kind of depends. It varies a little bit. So in the spring and the fall, we'll come out once a week. So it'll be usually for about 6 to 8 weeks. You know, like I said earlier, it's kind of, you sign up for a select time. So maybe a Tuesday at 6 o'clock, you'd come out, you know, for 8 weeks in a row. Then during the summer, we do have our summer camps. So it'd be kind of a week long, like Monday to the Friday. You'd drop the kids off at, you know, let's say 8 o'clock, pick them up at one, and then you meet for the whole week. So it'd be, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Okay. What are you most proud of in your journey at First Tee, besides the fact that you are now employed there and probably have a good salary?
I think it's just the relationships I've built, you know, growing up and even now, like the relationships I'm still building. So a lot of the participants that, you know, was teenagers when I was a teenager, I'm still pretty close with them. You know, I'll see them every once in a while, not as often as I used to. But I think it was really cool, like, growing up with them and seeing kind of how we've all, you know, gone our own different paths. But, you know, one of my friends from the first, he's getting married. And I think that's really cool. Just being able to, you know, always check in with them is really, really fun for me.
And before we end this episode, I have an interesting question for you, Matthew. If someone watched your story as a movie, because your story at First Tee is like a huge journey and is like multiple seasons show, what would be one scene that had to be in it?
I think any scene with Brandon Luna in it. So Brandon Luna, he works at the First Tee National Chapter. So I met him when I was 16, 17 in one of these summer camps, right? And he's just this huge dude. He kind of overlooks all the summer camps. And I met him, I believe it was in Michigan State. I have a picture of him back then too. And I met him and he was just so open and so welcoming. And so at every summer camp I'd see him. And I've chaperoned for a few of these summer camps now that I'm, you know, been in college and graduated. So I've chaperoned for four different summer camps, four different summers, and he's there every single year. And every year, you know, he's always got, like, it's like I'd never skipped a beat with him. It's like, you know, from one summer to the next summer, it's like it could be the next day and I couldn't tell. You know, he's always there for me in my corner, fighting for me. He's texting me, trying to help me look for new jobs, you know, asking him how school's going, asking how the family is. And he's met a lot of my family because they've been to these camps as well. And so I think any scene that has Brandon Luna in it, you got to keep it.
Brandon Luna.
Brandon Luna, yes.
Brandon Luna, shout out to you. So where can people learn more about Firstee? What is the website? What is your social media accounts?
Yeah, so our website is firsteedallas.org. Our Instagrams and our Facebooks are going to be firsteedallas. You can learn more about us on the website, on our social medias. But I do think our website is the best place to learn more about us.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Matthew, for visiting us today. Make sure to check out. Do you guys also have TikTok?
We do not have TikTok. We have Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn.
Okay. Make sure to check out Firstee on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. And until next time, stay tuned.
These kinds of conversations are happening all the time. We'd love for you to join in, whether it's through our monthly webinars, our biannual conferences, or our SEMA certification. And then we have our chapter events across the nation all year round. You can find out more at amaaonline.com. Until then, see you next time.